Welcome to the Post Up on HoopFeed.com. Hey everyone, this is Cheryl Coward, the host of the Post Up podcast. Our guest today is former WNBA player and Storm original, Simone Edwards.
It's been 10 years since you retired from the WNBA. What have you been up to since then?
Well, I've done a lot of things. I've coached in the NCAA at Radford and George Mason, and I've coached the Jamaica national team. I've played for the Jamaica national team. I played up until the year 2013, and then I coached, won a championship with them in 2014. And I took a break from that because it was just a lot of work. I have to do marketing, scouting, everything, and it was just too hard to be begging all the time for women's basketball. I just feel like you don't get enough support, no matter how much our accomplishments were. But the men who did way less and have accomplished less get more money. So that was just too hard for me. So I took some time off from that, and I started working on the Anti-Bully Project. So the website is antibullyproject.org, where I travel to speak to youth about bullying and self-esteem. Because, you know, growing up and being a part of basketball, but just being tall, you know, I've gotten bullied. And I know, you know, you read all these things about kids being bullied, kids committing suicide because of bullying, but even adults are being bullied. So I just thought, you know, if I can help, you know, build some self-esteem and help some kids through that, that would be great. And my memoir, working on my memoir, about, you know, just coming from being poor in Jamaica, poor kid, making it to the WNBA, and all the obstacles and to get there. And, you know, so all of that is on my in my JamaicaHurricane.com website, just talking about things I do, you know. I do development because that's one thing I love to do, develop kids or anyone that wants to develop their game in basketball. I try to build kids up so that they can get scholarships because that's what gave me my way out of the poverty as a child, you know, basketball. So I work on development. So those are the things up to right now.
Well, you know, since you were in the league, there have been several other players from the Caribbean and Jamaica specifically to play in the WNBA. You know, you have Anika Henry Morello now playing for the Connecticut Sun. But as the pioneer, what did it mean for you to be the first player from Jamaica to play in the league?
Oh, that was so awesome. And, you know, right there when I was just trying to make it in, it was just a survival. When the league started, I was coming out of Iowa again. Like I said, you know, I was struggling. My parents couldn't afford to send me money. It was just really tough. And my scholarship was up. And what's next? My visa was going to be expired. Was I supposed to go back? I had a sociology degree. I started my master's. I couldn't pay for it to finish it in sports psychology. You know, so that was when that came up, and I had back-to-back ACL injuries in Iowa and stuff. So, you know, I wasn't in the draft, and it was like all I was thinking about, okay, the W, I need to get in. I can get a job, you know. And but after you get in, you realize I just made history, you know. And that give hope to other, if it's even Caribbean kids, or other kids from Jamaica who, because basketball wasn't big then, because I didn't have basketball for girls in high school when I started. And I started my senior year, going in my senior year in high school in basketball. And there was no high school basketball for girls, so I was just training, you know, on the side. But it gave hope for the other young ones to see that I made it, because I spoke to a few athletes that came up to college and said, you know, I want to get in there like you did, you know. And to see Anika, we're pretty close. We stay in touch, you know, to see that she is in it. Hopefully, I wish her the best in Connecticut. I know it was hard in Atlanta. But, you know, it just feels good to see her there. And I was hoping Sharisha Richard would get in, but I know that she needs a little bit more in terms of developing her skills for her size. And I wish that was something I could do for her in terms of getting her prepared for that. But, you know, it's just something that you hold on to, you know, when you've made that kind of a commitment, accomplishment. And hopefully, again, like I said, I can help a few future Jamaican young lady get in there once I get started with trying to set up a development program to help. Because there are some great athletes, as everybody knows, in Jamaica. It's just that they do not have that kind of development going on for basketball, especially girls.
You mean Sharisha Richards from Albany, who...
Yeah, and you know, we have a foundation. She came up through our foundation started by Enid Agnes, Team Jamaica Basketball, TJB. So, you know, we brought her up. And also, you know, Marva Dean Anderson, the 6'11", she was...
Yes, Bubbles.
Yeah, Bubbles, you know, so... Both of these young lady came up through Team Jamaica Basketball, that foundation, where you go down and you look for kids and you try to place them in high schools here or colleges. And I use that for Simone for Children, my foundation, Simone for Children, you know, that part also I use, you know, through education, trying to get kids help with schoolwork so that there's a balance so they can make it as athletes, because you have to have that balance in your academic. And for these poor kids that are talented, but, you know, they have no way out, you know, you try to create these opportunities for them. So hopefully, you know, if Bubbles wasn't injured, you know, I think that she would have had a different future with basketball. But when you're 6'11", you need injuries, it's just hard. Sharisha done a great job. You know, we're all proud of her, you know, and I'm sure she's going to go overseas, do well, and probably try to get back in, you know. So, you know, hopefully in the future there's a lot more to come.
You sort of carved out your space. I mean, you didn't play basketball in high school. You ran track. How are you able to develop your skills so quickly and then become, you know, you are a star on the junior college level and you transfer to play under a legendary coach at Iowa with a bunch of great players as well?
You see, that's what made the memoir so interesting, because, you know, people don't understand how difficult, because like you said, you know, say I'm coming from a track meet and here I am, you know, I ran into these two coaches, one from the University of Iowa and one a local coach, and they were like, hey, you're tall, you're athletic, I guess they came and watched a track meet and say you're fast, we have a scholarship for you, why don't you train for basketball? And I'm like, what is basketball? You know, and I was 16, you know, I was like, what is basketball? But, you know, the guy said, I'll show you, and then I, you know, start training with him on the side in the evening after school, and I didn't have, so I'm bare feet. I didn't have school shoes, basketball shoes. Like I said, I was a poor kid. But all that was in front of me was like a scholarship, you know, because when I ran home to tell my mom I'm getting a scholarship, she said, for what? I said, basketball. She thought it was track. She like, what is it? I couldn't even explain it to her because I had no idea what it is. I just know that I was going to train for it. And so you go through all of that. And that's why I know how to develop kids, you know, because it took me that year to learn it, to go, and I was supposed to go to the University of Oklahoma, but he said, because I'm so fresh, he would send me to the junior college for 1 year and then take me over. But it's the first year in the university, you know, I made All-American, you know. and so at the Seminole Junior College, I mean, and the coach called me to the office and said, Simone, you're second team All-American. And I said, no, I'm all Jamaican. You got it wrong. You can't put that. My mom going to kill me. But I thought, you know, I was from Jamaica. And then he explained it to me, that what an All-American was. And so, you know, I said, okay, second team, that's not good enough. And because the coach got fired from Oklahoma, I decided I'll stay there with him. He asked me if I wanted to stay another year. And I said, yes, because second team wasn't good enough. And after that, I made Kodak All-American and first team. And that was just from spending a lot of extra time in the gym by myself. I had Because, you know, Seminole, Oklahoma, I don't know if you know where that, that's small town in Seminole, cowboys and Indians. Mm-hmm. And so I had this one friend that's, she's an Indian. I don't know if she's a Seminole Indian or what Indian it was, but she used to rebound for me as I shoot. So I'm working on these things on my own, saying I want to be the best, you know, see as far as it can take me. And that's how all of that worked.
So you took it upon yourself to become better in your own spare time to make a career a future for yourself in basketball.
Yeah, because I saw it as a privilege. A lot of kids now don't, you know, not all, but a lot of them don't. Your coach is complaining about that. And I knew that this was the opportunity for me. I didn't have much. I know there's nothing to go back home to. And I wanted to help my mom and family. And I just know I had to make it. And so I put all the time into that. You know, my time was dedicated to getting my schoolwork done and learning the game. And I knew all these other girls had many years on me, you know. And so I had to catch up. But one thing I told myself is that it's a skill game. And when something is a skill game, guess what? All you have to do is learn the skills. And it don't take years. It just takes the time you put in. So, and I'll click here willing to suck up as a sponge. And I was willing to do whatever it takes. So I spent all my extra time in the gym. And there was nothing else to do in Oklahoma. But to tell you the truth, I wasn't one of those kids. Even though I came up at 17 and leave my family behind, I was so focused because you know what you left behind. And I stayed focused, so I wasn't distracted at all. You know, I just stayed focused on basketball and trying to do the best. I wasn't even thinking about professional basketball then. I was just thinking if I could get a degree and get a job here and all that stuff. So basketball was just a way. You know, like I said, I was in track, so track was my passion. Basketball was just the way. And I was just using it to get to where I needed to when I just started.
Okay. Then, you know, you had your injuries at Iowa, but you persevered. You came into the league, like you mentioned, as a developmental player for the New York Liberty, and then you joined the Storm in 2000. Back then, the league had more teams, more roster spaces. In your opinion, what has been the effect of teams not being able to really have developmental players to give rookies a chance to adjust to the pro game?
You know, when I came in, I don't know, for some reason, I kind of liked when I came in and I wish it was up to 15 players. I think there were 13 in 2000. I love being a part of the roster, active roster. You know, I mean, nobody could take away that experience of being a development player in the first year because you're just happy to be there. But I tell you, the toughest thing is to sit on the bench a whole season and feel like you can help and you know, couldn't. I mean, I was with Rebecca Love, Teresa Witherspoon in New York, Vicky Johnson, and 2 weeks. All these really good players I'm practicing against each day, getting better and better. And then in games that they were losing, I'm like, maybe I could get some rebound. You know, I want to be out there so bad. I mean, and so that's one thing. I didn't really like the fact that I wasn't active. When I got in 2000, it was a chance to play. And I really loved that I could contribute. You know, I spent all those years overseas trying to get better and coming in because you know, most of the kids coming in from college, you know, they play on some of the top teams and they did very well in college or coming from overseas to the league. And that is an experience on its own. I mean, the league is another level once you step up, but still, I guess I see it different. I just see competition as competition. It was always that for me as a player. And a lot of them holding their own, but for me, it's just these rookies, you know, coming in and getting playing time, I think is best because you still have all those practices in preseason, you know. So, you know, the playing time, I think, is so important on court. And that's one thing I felt like I missed out my first year of the WNBA, just being a part of depth in the team on court during games.
Okay. Well, when you went to the Storm, you were able to contribute right away, and you became a fan favorite. The Storm crazies adore you. You know, you won the championship with the Storm, and then you're on the all-decade team as well. But, you know, when you came into the league, did you think that it would last this long? And what are your thoughts on the league's future?
You know what? I thought that I was like, it's under the NBA, and the NBA makes so much money, and, you know, it's such, it's the NBA, and the WNBA is, you know, part of it. So I really never thought it would have failed. And then, you know, that first year, you know, everybody come up because everybody's so excited about it. New York, when I was in New York, you have, you know, Tyra Banks, you have Spike Lee. You have a lot of people and a lot of fans coming to the games because the first year. And, I mean, it went down after that. But it was, I never thought that at any point that is, but while playing, you know, after, you know, I re-entered in 2000 and going on, and I would start getting a little worried when teams were being cut, you know. And with Utah, you have Detroit, you know. I mean, they move, but, you know, you just start getting concerned, like, no, please. You know, I just pray that Seattle, because you just feel like part of your legacy would be gone if Seattle is gone. You know, and I think a lot of former players felt that when their team is gone. You know, that team is not there anymore, you know. I thought when I first came in, I thought that it would last just because I said the NBA have too much money for this thing not to last. But, you know, it's not the same money, you know, but it just thought that they could maintain it, if anything.
Yeah. Well, you had an opportunity to play with some amazing players, you know, Lauren Jackson, Sue Bird, you mentioned Camila, many, many, many others. And this year we saw the retirement of Lauren Jackson. What are your thoughts on her career and the chance to play with her in Seattle and win a championship together?
You know, Lauren came in as a baby. What was she, like 17?
19.
You know, oh, my God. You were looking back then. You know, it was so exciting because you're looking, I'm thinking when I was 19 and I, you know, going back, you know, it's still fresh learning the game and all that. At that time, her skill level was at a point, but again, I know she was playing a little longer than I was, but, when she started, but, you know, it was just amazing her skill set and how tough she was, you know, and, how tough she is, because she is just a beast. And that helped me a lot, you know, as a player, because I had to play defense on Lauren all the time, you know. And it was just amazing to watch her grow for all those years, just like with Sue Bird. You know, Sue Bird came in right out of college, too. And just to watch them grow into these incredible players. Lauren... Lauren is the type of player that, you know, she don't have no filter. You know, she just say whatever come out of her mouth, and it's just one of those things that, you know, I remember, like, when the new, you know, in the preseason, whenever new post players come in, I feel sorry for them sometimes because in practice, you know, because to go up against Lauren, you know, they're trying to make the team. It's not really easy, you know, but it was just exciting. I enjoy playing with her. And her retirement, I mean, Lauren hasn't played in Seattle for how long? Like a few years? Because of, I mean, she was playing overseas, but she hasn't played with Seattle for a few years. And so... When she retired, you know, overall, it's just hard because I really wanted to, you know, watch her a little more because I really enjoy watching her. You know, I was a Lauren fan and teammate in terms of just her skills and just how, you know, hard she played during the game. So So it was sad, but I know how what it is like to be injured, and it's, you know, she made enough money too. She's okay, you know. But it's sad to see another legend retiring, you know. But I understand.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned the other post players coming in, and it also reminds me of Becky Hammon when she said she joined the Liberty, and how Teaspoon and the others cheated her. It would be funny to see, you know, unfortunately she's not there, but if she were there with Breanna Stewart coming in, who's an amazing player in her own right, but that would have been a treat.
Oh, yeah, that would have been. I mean, yeah, I mean, if Lauren was, oh, they'll be a powerhouse. I mean, it all depends on, you know, game structure and all that, but you can have talent and not win games. So it all depends on, you know, if the coach now has to utilize these talent, put them in position now to win with the plays and all of that. But, you know, that would have been a little combination right there. It'd be like Show, Swoop, and Coop.
Yes.
In terms of the skills, you know.
Well, looking at the Storm, I mean, of course, winning a championship is a highlight, and then, you know, you're able later on to coach the, you know, the Jamaica national team. What have been your highlights in your career as a player?
You know, the first part of my highlight is really actually just lasting in the league for that long, knowing that I have all these knee injuries. The other part is really just, you know, when the year the Storm started out, we won like 4 to 6 games. And then to be able to give the fans a championship, you know, the one that stuck, because I remember during those first few games of the Storm, how nobody left. We were being blown out by 20-some points. And at the end of the game, the Storm fans will stand and cheer us on because they like our effort. We were fighting. You know, we were just fighting. We were diving after ball. Even though we were down, we fought all the way to the end. And I think they appreciated that. And that was just basket. You know, you love that. It wasn't just about the winning. They just showed that they appreciated how hard we were. And I was like, fans like this deserve a championship. So believe me, the day that we won that first championship, you know, it was just, I can't even explain that feeling, just to see the fans, the whole place just cheering, and I'm like, I experienced it. I didn't want to retire from the start or the league without winning a championship for these fans, and to do that, that was just pretty amazing.
It is amazing. Do you plan on attending any Storm games this season, either when they visit Atlanta or via trip to Seattle?
I'm going to try to do a trip to Seattle. You know, there's no greater feeling than being there with, and I've never failed to get a standing from, you know, my fans. You know, still got a few fans out there, so I love that. They always make me feel like I'm coming home. It could be 50 years later. You still have those diehard stamped Storm fans. And even some of the kids that I used to steal as a baby, go around and grab people. Kids, they're all grown now, and they're, like, coming up to me. You don't remember me, but when I was a baby, you were my favorite. And to hear that, you know, it's just pretty awesome. So that's an experience I always love revisiting, because I love going back and just interacting with the Storm fans, the ones that have been there while I was playing, and then even enjoying the game, you know, watching the games and cheering them on.
That is awesome, and I'm pretty sure you have more than a few fans still out there. Yeah, speaking of Jamaican Hurricane, how did you get that nickname? And, yeah, tell fans where that nickname came from.
Well, I know Laurie used to call me Jamaica. He used to call me Mr. Moore, used to call me Jamaica. And, I know I thought we were all talking about something, and I was like, I'm a hurricane. You know, I'm just going to come blow down. So I just said, I'm the Jamaican hurricane. I just started it from there, you know, because they were saying the storm. So I said that I'm the Jamaican hurricane. You know, I wanted to be close to the storm. So I said, hey, I'm the Jamaican hurricane. And that's where that came in, the nickname. But since then, cool. I introduced myself as the Jamaican hurricane.
So looking at the Storm, and actually the league in general, who are some of your favorite current players and players that you see having a bright future in the league, some of the younger players?
I like a few. You know, I'm still a big fan of some of the current, you know, that are still lasting, like, you know, Candace Parker, you know, because even though she is not one of the ones fresh to coming out, because she is such a good player. You know, I've always enjoyed watching, and I love the way she holds her own, because a lot of people forget the veterans when all these new players come in. And, you know, so I'm still a big fan of the players that are still in there that have proven themselves over the years. And starting with the fans, I like Jewel. He's also a good player. Let's see who else.
Well, speaking actually of Candace, you know, she dropped 34 points in her opener versus Seattle. She had a really great game. But, you know, you talked on Twitter about her not making the Olympic team for this summer's games in Rio. What motivated you to post those status updates about her, and what are your thoughts on the selection process in general, I guess?
I don't think there's any way Candace should not be on the national team. But, you know, I'm not the national coach. You know, it's not my decision, but I'm just saying I have the right to an opinion, and I just think she should be there. She has proven that last night, and even if she didn't have 34 last night, we all know she's a good player. And she's not, I don't see the reason why she shouldn't be, to tell you the truth. Somebody can't come up with a good reason to tell me why she shouldn't be on the team. I don't know if you can come up with one, but I don't see why she couldn't make the team. I mean, I enjoyed playing against her when I was on the Jamaica. The last time I played against the U.S., when I was playing for Jamaica, you know, Candace was there. And again, she, you know, she have all represented the U.S. well. And she's still doing her thing. And, you know, I think that's the type of player that should play until there's a reason for her not to, in terms of her skill set, if it just with her down, if she's injured, if she's not getting, but she's showing that she can still ball. So,
yeah.
You know, I just find that, and I'm sure she didn't expect that either, so I just find that hard that she's not playing, because I enjoy watching her play. And
cool.
It's nothing against the other players, I just think she deserves a spot on the team.
Well, you are joined in that opinion by many, many fans who have been tweeting about it.
And, you know, your fans are always going to back you, but it's not even about just being a fan. I'm just talking about the skill, you know, I'm talking about skills in terms of how good a player she is and how she's still, you know, she's still putting up numbers.
Exactly.
You know, and, you know, when they talk about nothing against, like I said, you know, I think Stewart is a good player. I'm nothing against any of the rookies or anything like that. But when people say things like, oh, need to give the young ones a chance or whatever, what does that mean? They're young. There's a lot of years ahead for them to get a chance. I mean, if the veteran is still doing well, should you take a veteran out of their position, even though they're doing well, to give a younger player a chance, and that player has so many years ahead? I mean, you know, don't take a player out because, and I don't think that's I'm not saying that is, because I really think that should be on the team. I think she'll do well too. So it's not, it's about just people opinion sometime when I see you talking about younger player. I don't agree with that, because even on the national team, when I was playing against the U.S., when was it, in 2000? I was in my 30s. And my knees were bad, and I still, in the FIBA Americas, the Olympic qualifier, I led the whole, I was number one in scoring with all the teams there in the overall in the tournament. And so if somebody had kicked me out and said, oh, she's a veteran, her knees are bad, you know what I mean? So I'm just saying that for the ones we work hard all the year to accomplish what we accomplished so we can still do certain things, until we can't do it anymore, I don't think you should, I don't like when people say, oh, give the younger one. No, I mean, if they're proving themselves, and they have to get a chance to prove, but I just think that I don't like when people use that excuse. And I'm not saying that they excuse the national, I'm just saying overall, the ones that use it, I don't like it.
Exactly. That actually reminds me of a player like Todd Williams Franklin, and it's funny sometimes,
right.
Like, if Todd was to come back today, we'll find a place for her.
I'm telling you, a good player is a good player. You know, I always said, you know, if it wasn't for my knees, you know, because I used to, you know, when I first left the WNBA in 97, I went overseas, I told myself that, okay, nobody really know me because I, all the knee injuries in college, I didn't get drafted, and I sat on the limited bit. So I'm going to go over and show that all these players that are in the league that I have to play against, I'm going to show that my record is just fast. So when I'm overseas, my record when I play against Lisa Les, all of them, my number was high or higher in rebound and scoring. So, but, you know, people are always go with a familiar. If you're not coming from a big school where you come in, you didn't come to the Final Four or your name's out, a lot of time there's some good players out there that are being ignored. They're playing for a small school. They're talented. But a lot of time people get caught up on the school that teams are coming from. And sometimes even coaches do that. They give preferential treatment to some of these. But the talent, you know, is there. And I think in 2004 when we won the championship, I remember the bench, we all had to be, and you know, coach said, we need to play, you know, in order for us to, you know, because there's so much talent here. Because when people focus on just the stars, if the star get injured or what, you know, you lose the confidence. The players on the bench will lose their confidence, and you don't want that, you know. So you always have to make sure, not everybody going to get the same amount of playing time or anything, but when you have talent and skill, you have to build their confidence too and make them know they're just as important. The media and everybody is going to surround the stars. Everything you're going to see, even if there's a game and the star gets, everybody going to put it around the star, and then, you know, the ones that are, you know, not going to. But it's a whole team effort, you know.
Exactly.
And you make sacrifices so the stars can get their points a lot of times. You know, the ball got to go into them. You know, you got to play defense to get a stop. I mean, it's the whole team. So sometimes you look at team website and all you see are the two stars. They're their franchise players coming down the holes. It's like, what's wrong with the rest of the players? You know, it's not only two players on a team. And yes. You know, I'm telling you this from being a player. A lot of people don't know the inside of how it's, you know, for people on the team. I mean, they don't understand the stress and so many things, the mental stress and a lot of things that these players go through being a part of a WNBA, a professional team. You know, a lot of players, that's why, you know, in some of the baseball, football, and different things, all these players under, or whatever they do, or the stress, it's so stressful because you're trying to maintain a position. So you have players crying during preseason. They're worried if they're going to get cut. I mean, you have all these things going on. You know, you have players trying to take out players because they want a spot. You have all these things going on. And then you have players that are going to develop these feelings for other players because they're mad. But it's not the other players. So it's because the media or the coaches put the attention on the franchise, but you can't really blame them, you know. And so it's just a lot of things going on that people are not aware of. They just watch from the outside and they see, why is that player not taking that shot? Why is she so tentative? Probably she was told not to. You know, because you're limited sometimes. Probably you're told not to. Probably you're told to give the franchise player the ball and every player, you know, on this. You know, so sometimes they don't understand what some of these, especially the players on the bench go through. Why they're so nervous sometimes they come on the bench because they know they're the first one going to get pulled out. A star can be on the court and make 5 turnovers in a row and still get a chance to make up. You come off the bench and you go on, you're still a little cold. You make a turnover, as soon as you're on, you're looking straight over the bench because you think it's you coming out. You have to play with that kind of thing. The star don't look over most of the time. They know they're probably not coming out. You know, so it's so different coming from their point of view, you know, in terms of the game and how things are treated. But anyway,
especially when people have to think about the fact that, you know, it's a professional team and a lot of the decisions that are made are business decisions.
Exactly.
Well, that's gotta be hard sometimes.
It is hard. I did want, after winning a championship, I wish the whole team had stayed. Yeah, maybe make one or two. Because, you know, that's kind of a momentum going in. But the team kind of break up after that, you know, and It was just hard because you watch, like I said, when you watch a player like Miller that played all those years with Storm, then she went to Phoenix and I have to play against her. That was so strange for me. you know, that's my teammate. We were there from the start of the storm, and now she's with Phoenix. And we just won, after we won a championship. You know,
yeah.
Things like that was just really hard. But it's, like I said, it's a business part of it. And, you know, it comes with every team. And but one thing I learned as a player is that when I go out there, I just play. I just want to have fun and play. You know, you're not going to be happy about everything, but I just always feel so blessed and like it's, you know, a blessing. So I just have always enjoyed that.
Well, that was certainly clear because the fans really loved you because of that, because you were, you know, always positive and happy to interact with the fans and just, you know, to be on the court. So that's the great thing that you were able to cultivate when you were in Seattle. Is there anything else you want to tell fans, you know, about what you're doing? You know, we'll be hearing from you the rest of the summer with some Where Are They Now pieces, some former players. But, yeah, is there anything else you want to tell fans?
Yeah, first of all, I want to thank all the fans for supporting the WNBA. You know, I feel the fans are up for women's basketball. That support is needed. And even though I'm not playing, I do appreciate that because, and I say it on behalf of the females that are playing, you know, that they're so appreciated because it won't happen without them. The league wouldn't be happening without them. And as a player, you know, when I was playing for the Storm, I made sure, that's one thing they can tell you, if there was a long line and everybody leave, I will stay until the last person gets signed because it's so important to me to show the fans that I appreciate them. That's why I always take time with the fans. You know, and I don't like when players just find it hard to even go sign thing or whatever. No, I think especially for the little kids, they take time, they pay to come see us. They're cheering for us. The least we can do is show them that we appreciate them. No, you know, just follow up because you know, on my Jam Hurricane Twitter or Instagram because you know for my memoir coming up, you know, it's inspirational. It's about just, you know, like I said, coming from a place where you don't, where it's like, what's going to happen? I don't have any money. My parents are poor. And to go through everything to get to being a WNBA champion. And it's inspired, it will inspire anyone, you know, from high school kid, straight up to even a grown person that having difficulty find that things are hard and not giving up on certain things, finding a way to get it done. So just would love for them to keep in touch through Twitter and Instagram and also for them to support my memoir when it does come out.
Well, I look forward to it because it is indeed an amazing story. And thank you again for taking the time out, and I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.